Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I am Brian Freeman, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications, and this week we are visiting with Senior Associate Athletic Director for External Affairs, Travis Toth. Mr. Toth, I know you got a busy, packed schedule, so I appreciate you taking the time to visit with us this week.
Thank you, Brian.
The Senior Associate title is new position, so to speak. It was announced by Dr. Erdman earlier this month. For people who might not understand, moving forward, you've been over external affairs for the last couple of years by definition, but moving forward, describe for our listeners exactly what this means, your role will be.
Brian, yeah, when I got here back in 2008, the vision was to bring everything in-house from a corporate sales, broadcasting, licensing, logo usage, responsibility. And as you've seen over the last 8 or 9 years with Dr. Erdman's vision and, his allowing us to do what we do, I finally feel like I've gotten to the point where I wanted to be. And that was that now I'm going to oversee all of the corporate sales, all of the fulfillment of the corporate sales, still handling the traditional marketing through a transition, overseeing the broadcasting side as we grow. As you know, the broadcasting and JagNationTV.com has grown exponentially over the last 2-3 years. So we're really expanding. And I think my job is to have the vision to grow, but to manage it and implement it.
So I did want to point that out specifically because going back to its start a few years ago, Jaguar Sports Properties, you've had a hand in it all the way. Tell us about your exact role from the planning stages to where it is now and exactly, broadcasting and video-wise, like how far we've come.
It's a great question. I kind of have to back up a little bit because my last 5 years at the Mobile Bay Bears, as you know, I was general manager. And a lot of folks ask, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that you manage. You take vision and you look 5-10 years down the road and you try to figure out how you're going to get there. When I got here, actually, my feelings were a little hurt. They hired me and put me under public relations, which was great because we're implementing football, et cetera. But my feelings were a little hurt because what I did was I sold. And we brought all of these corporate folks to the table, and then we kind of serviced them, we engaged them, we grew them to make them long-term fans and customers and donors. And so for the first 4 or 5 years, as you know, we were kind of restricted because of the outsourcing of IMG College. So working with IMG College was a great experience, but as you can imagine, going through the 3 or 4 or 5 years of working daily with IMG, I kind of got the feeling that, we could do this better. And so Joel and I started talking, about 5 years ago. And then sure enough, we decided, as you know, not to extend our contract with IMG College. And, Joel kind of looked me in the eye and said, can we do this? And I said, absolutely, we can do this. This is why I'm here. So there you go. So January of 2014, we started Jaguar Sports Properties under the umbrella of the Jaguar Athletic Fund. And ever since then, we've been hitting the ground running and running fast, and trying to catch up to the vision.
For the listeners out there, describe for us a typical day for you, Monday to Friday, not involving any athletic event.
Wow, great question. For me, we have 5 full-time folks in Jaguar Sports Properties. And it really depends on the time of year, but from August really until the end of May, possibly June, 2 of our folks are broadcasting full-time. You also have Tyler, who assists Pat in JagNationTV.com. So here's where I'm going with this is we spend an entire year of selling and bringing corporate sponsors to the table, but really two of us end up servicing those corporate clients year-round. And right now we're sitting at about 110 corporate sponsors. So my passion is to make sure that whatever we promise and whatever we sell, that we over-deliver. Well, in order to do that, it takes every day to make sure you communicate and make sure they get what they invest in to make sure they have a return of investment. But along with that, I also do the marketing side, which overseeing the marketing and promotional side is a little tricky because, you know, I have to campaign throughout the year of how are we marketing South Alabama athletics? How are we marketing the Jags? And working with all of the media, whether it's TV, radio, newspaper like Lanyap or what have you, it's all gone digital and social media. So I also spend a lot of my time on the digital tracking, the analytics of is it working? Where is our money best spent? And then also overseeing the social media on the Jag Nation side, which has been a tremendous success, in my opinion, to complement what you guys do on the strategic communication side.
So, I mean, I think without, you know, wasn't said, but I think people have to understand you in this role have not been and will not be at your desk from 8 to 5. I mean, you're all over the place when you're going out and seeing people. How do you split your time? If you had to put percentages on it, how much are you in the office on campus and how much are you in clients' offices?
You know, just like my 4 years in radio and my 12 years at the Bay Bears, I am a big believer in relationship selling. And what I mean by that is sitting at a desk and just sending proposals through the internet or emailing, that's not going to cut it. What's going to cut it is building a relationship with a business owner or business leader and them finally deciding that, yes, they trust you and you're going to take care of their investment and you're going to give them results. So I'm a big believer in face-to-face. I try to see about four people face-to-face every day when it comes to corporate. You know, so you can imagine those appointments get spread out throughout the day. I try to be smart and schedule two or three in a row so that I'm out 3 or 4 hours, but then I have 4 or 5 hours in the office to actually get it done. But I would say early in the morning is when I do most of my computer work. And then usually I'm here in the evening just to follow up my day to make sure that nothing's left undone. So to answer your question, you know, I would say probably 40% sales, 40% marketing, and then I would probably say 20% whatever else has to be done.
And then the flip side of that is tell our listeners your exact role game day. And primarily, you know, you're talking about ones with real production, football, basketballs, baseball, softball.
Yeah, well, my role's changing a little bit with now being senior associate athletic director. I think Dr. Erdman is trying to free me up to be able to service those corporate guests that we're talking about, whether that means getting them to the suite or walking them down to the sidelines so they can experience it, taking them onto the field for recognition. But the past 9 years, to answer your question, as you know, football was probably the most intensive, where my job was to create the script for the game and then actually run the game from a press box standpoint, overseeing the public address, the music, communication with Tyler, with the video board, the band, cheer, and really just making sure that for those 5 or 6 hours from pregame to post, that everybody's where they're supposed to be doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Now, I'm sure you and Dr. Erdman have talked about it. You can share what you like, and you can tell us that there's some stuff maybe you can't put out there. But as it relates to JSP and this corporate development, you know, what do you see as the short and long-term goals that will help advance South Alabama athletics?
Well, in order to grow, which is where we need to be, we have to grow the revenue. And so my first year, to be honest, it was all about going out and visiting everybody to see, was there really a true disconnect between our community and IMG? And if there was, how do we repair those relationships quickly? But most importantly, how do we rebuild the trust? So the first year was really just implementing the JSP staff from a broadcasting standpoint, a sales standpoint. The second year, we actually had real goals. And the second year goal was that we wanted to generate about $800,000 in order to make a little money. As you know, any business you start from scratch, it's probably going to take you 3 or 4 years to get out of the red and get in the black if you make it. So I can honestly sit here today and say we made it, because in year three, we're actually making money. And our goal, just to give you an idea, our goal this year in corporate sales is $1.1 million, which means that that would allow us to continue to grow from a personnel standpoint and from an equipment quality standpoint. And you also know this, that we invested $225,000 last year in all of the HD equipment in order to stream most of our sports live. And, you know, folks say, well, where does that $225,000 come from? Well, it comes from the hard work of JSP.
Fair enough. We are visiting this week on Inside JAG Nation with Travis Toth, Senior Associate AD for External Affairs. I don't know if there are any areas that you can pinpoint, but for any individual interested in pursuing a path along the lines that you've taken, marketing, promotions, sales, corporate stuff, you know, what skills do you recommend that they develop that they'd be prepared to come into the profession and eventually get to a place where you're at?
Another good question. You know, I really believe this, that you're only as good as the people around you. And what I mean by that is there's so many different layers to athletics and Jaguar Sports Properties that I really think you have to identify the skill set of the individual. So in other words, we go out, we're looking for a broadcaster, you know, J.D. Byers. We're looking for a great corporate salesperson, Ashley Ellert. You know, we're looking for somebody who can build JagNationTV.com. That was Pat Greenwood and Tyler Folks. So, yes, I'm giving them a little credit in this interview. But the reason I say that is I have students all the time sitting across from me at this desk, and they just want to be in marketing. Hey, how do I get in marketing? Hey, how do I get in social media? How do I do this? And the real question is, what are you good at? You know, what's your skill set? Are you very personable? Are you good at talking to people? Or are you just really good with graphics? Do you understand the social media world like I don't? You know, so the bottom line is, I think what I do is identify what their skill set is. And here's the part I love. We have a lot of student athletes and a lot of students who come in here that are freshmen, and they know they want to be in sports and they know they want to be in athletics, but they don't know what they want to do. Well, where better place than Jaguar Sports Properties, marketing, strategic communication, for them to spend a semester with us doing it, and that would reveal to them exactly really what they want to do.
Now, we've talked about a little bit here earlier. You came to South Alabama October 2008. The original role was Associate AD for Marketing and Promotions, and you came after 12 years with the Mobile Bay Bears, our AA team in town, and your most recent position there was General Manager. So you're basically running the team. Why the interest in making the move at that point? What led you to switch positions and put you on the path you are now with South Al?
Well, that's a kind of a long answer, and I'll keep it short, but it was really a God thing, Brian. And the reason I say that is I had a wonderful wife. I had two small boys that I was raising, and I really felt like it was getting to the point with the Bay Bears that they were going to send me to another city, another market to run my own team. As you know, we had Bill Shanahan, who was the president, and then we also had Travis, who was the general manager. And it was kind of like, geez, that's a lot of overhead for two guys to run one market. So I really felt like I was preparing myself to have to move and leave Mobile. And to be quite honest with you, we did not. We love Mobile. We love the Gulf Coast. My wife's from San Diego. I'm from Miami. And we love the Gulf Coast. We don't want to leave. So I was really struggling with that. And then, like I said, I just think it was a God thing, because I said, where else can I do what I do and stay in Mobile? And I just felt like that wasn't going to happen. Lo and behold, I'm out coaching my son in Gulfport, Mississippi at a baseball tournament, and my phone rings, which I never answer it when I'm coaching, but it was Joe Gottfried. And when I answered the phone, Joe just said, hey, I want you to know we're looking for a marketing guy who can help us implement football and other sports. But that was kind of the anchor of it. And so that was it. So I knew right then, no doubt in my mind, that this was God's way of saying you can stay where you are and do the same thing that you do and love it. So
now, you know, ton of responsibilities in that role with the Bay Bears, not just because you're the general manager, but because, as you said, it is you and Bill Shanahan and small staff to do a lot of things. Those responsibilities you had, how much did it make the transition to your role at South easy? I mean, was it a lot of the same stuff? How did you have to learn anything new once you came here other than the landscape and the different people?
You know, when I was 20 years old, I started in radio, and I think radio really taught me everything, because in radio, you do it all. I mean, nobody helps you. You go out, you sell it, you come back, you produce the spot, you play it, you get in the box, you're the DJ, you go out in remotes, you set up the remote. So the bottom line is I was really a turnkey person in radio where I learned everything. I made a lot of mistakes, but I learned from it. And then I started realizing that I think my skill set was sales. I think just engaging people and making them feel comfortable and trusting in what you're doing was the next step. So really what I did at the Bay Bears was build a foundation, you know, and overseeing a $3.5-4 million budget taught me the financial and business side. So I think it's amazing that those two jobs made me so well-rounded that this was the place for me to be. So to be honest, it came easy. What came hard was trading one sport for 17. That was a little more difficult, because you want to obviously serve everybody. You want to make sure that you can do the best for them. But realistically, you know, you only have so much time and so many people. But again, I think I was prepared for the management side, and I think I was prepared for the budget side.
For those in JAG Nation who've come on recently, they may not be aware, but folks who had ties to the athletic department well back understood that before the board agreed to begin the football program and the marching band, that it was a pretty small athletic department. And actually, when you came here, you weren't replacing anyone. Like, I was fortunate enough that there was an office and I was coming in and filling a role that people had been in prior. You didn't. There was no marketing and promotions till you got here. How long did it take you to kind of, all right, get that set and get that ball rolling, because you didn't have anything to go off of?
Yeah, that's a funny story. It wasn't quite as bad as Joey Jones sitting on the stairs of the Mitchell Center making phone calls, but it was close. And Joel and I actually talked about this the other day. The first day I started, I didn't have an office. They said, hey, just hang tight. We'll find you an office, which was really interesting, because I was thinking, okay, so what do I do now? So what I did is actually paid off, because what I did is I spent the next 2 or 3 days going to all the different departments and just shaking hands and meeting folks and asking them about their experiences with athletics, their excitement about football. And so I got to meet the deans. I got to meet a lot of the administrators. So actually, it was really good to establish those relationships early. So not having an office paid off. And but, you know, I would say after about 3 days, Keith Ayers took good care of me and you. And next thing you know, I had an office. And it was actually John Goodrow's old office, which I found out later. And actually, Joe Gottfried's old office, which was really cool, because then I started thinking, wow, I'm sitting where Joe Gottfried was sitting all those years. So it was a really good experience. But then what Dr. Erman did to bring us all together, you know, under one roof, is exciting, because that way we get to interact and see each other on a daily basis instead of scheduling meetings all the time. And just to let you know, I think the first month or two was all about planning behind the scenes that nobody knew about, budgets, campaign. We didn't have a budget. You know, it was almost like, hey, go figure it out. And so that first year was great, because it was such a learning curve that it really prepared me to do things right.
I'm not ready quite yet to get back to your education, but as you mentioned, you were a DJ / sales manager. That was your first job after, you know, out of Alabama at WCKO in Carrollton, which is on that Mississippi border. How does one go from being a DJ in Carrollton to doing sales in Mobile?
Wow. Yeah, how much time do you have? Well, the misnomer is that WCKO, even though the tower was in Carrollton, it was a booming station. It was 100,000 watt, all oldies. So I was able to walk in and immediately start DJing. I always wanted to be a sports broadcaster, so I was really well prepared and equipped to be on radio. What was interesting, though, is I didn't really like sitting in a box every day playing the same music over and over for a year. It drove me crazy. So after about 6 months, I said, I can't do this for the rest of my life. So I said, what else can I do? And they said, well, you know, can you sell? And I said, well, yeah, I think so. I sold for V91, which was the campus station at University of Alabama. And so I went out and hit the streets when I wasn't on the air. And I did that for about 6 months and obviously did really well to the point where within a year I was general sales manager overseeing 7 salespeople for the radio station. And we covered the Columbus, Starkville, Tuscaloosa market. So like I said, it was big. So I was on the road all the time, still doing what I love, which was on the air, but I could kind of pick and choose. And I really realized that when you generate revenue, you kind of can open your own doors. And so just like the Bay Bears walking in that door and they say, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to sell. Everybody else walked in that door saying they loved baseball. You know, I was smarter than that. I said, do you guys need me to bring in revenue? And they said, yes, we do. So I was selling a stadium that wasn't even built yet. Again, I think sales opened the doors from that point forward.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Travis Toth, Senior Associate Athletic Director for External Affairs. You know, like you said, you had a dream of being in sports, but you didn't start there. Did you apply for any other sports positions before you got the job with the Bay Bears? Did you find that it was hard to cross over from into that world? Or was that your first attempt and you got it because of the different approach you took in terms of sales rather than sports?
Yeah, I was actually, after radio, I was working in educational software for 4 years, and that was during the lottery boom in Georgia and Louisiana. So I was actually on the road 5 days a week right when I got married, just bought our first house, and I'm on the road 5 days a week covering 5 states. So a very lucrative sales job. But then I realized after a couple of years, it was not what I wanted. I was miserable. I wanted to be home. So to answer your question, I had this strong discernment that I need to get back into sports. That's kind of my first love. So in doing that, I walked in the Birmingham Barons, and again, unannounced, asked for the general manager, and at the time it was Tony Enzer. And Tony kind of looked at me and said, so you just walking in here, you want a job? And I was like, yes, I do. And he said, well, I don't have one. And I said, okay, well, let me know if you do. You know, that typical, you know, just taking a chance. Well, it was funny because within 24 hours, Tony called me back and he said, look, I don't have anything, but Mobile just announced that they're getting a minor league team. And obviously my home was Mobile. My mom lived here. So it just made sense that I would come down and see what was going on. And I literally walked in Bel Air Mall at the time, and there's a store called Dragons and Bears because they own the hockey team, the Mystics, and then obviously getting ready in a year to start the Bay Bears. And I just sat down with Matthew Riley and Bill Shanahan and basically told them what I said previously, that do you guys need anybody in sales? And they kind of were aghast that I just walked in the door. But I looked the part, I sounded the part, and next thing you know, within 2 weeks, I was hired and moving to Mobile.
So I know you're originally from Miami, and I'll ask you some stuff about that in a little bit, but how did you end up going to college at Alabama? You ended up with a degree in communication in 1990, but was that the plan all along, or did you just, once you got there, did you kind of find your way into communication? You know, tell us about that decision-making process and how you got there.
Actually, my plan was to play baseball, like a lot of a million other young teenagers across the nation. But I played baseball. I actually was born and raised in Miami, but I moved to Mobile my sophomore year. So I went to Davidson. I played baseball at Davidson, and I really had a real chance to move on and play college baseball. And my senior year, I shattered my ankle in the fall. And so I fought my way back in rehab to get back out on the field for our first spring game, and I broke it again in the first spring game. So at that point, I was angry and bitter and just realized I think my career is over. So I started thinking that what else can I do to stay in baseball? And of course, that was the broadcasting side. So I started thinking, I was planning on going to Florida State. And the last month before I had to make that decision for orientation, something just told me to get in the car, and me and my buddy drove up to Tuscaloosa for orientation just for kicks. And I liked it so much that I changed my mind. And then obviously communication was the route to stay into sports and do what I wanted to do.
Growing up in Miami, I mean, you obviously played baseball because you just told us that. But, you know, what other sports did you play? And when did you start playing and find that interest in sports?
Man, we lived 10 minutes from the beach. So what we used to do is every day in the summer or every day after school, we would find ourselves on our bikes driving over to the beach, and we played every sport you can imagine on the beach. You know, we played football and frisbee and baseball and everything else. So I played it all. From a high school standpoint, it was that transition from Miami to here. So I kind of felt caught where I didn't know anybody and the coaches didn't know me when I got to Mobile. So I really just settled in on baseball, and that became my sport. So, you know, and I just a funny story, but I mentioned I went to Alabama. Well, I did kind of walk out to the first walk-on tryout at Alabama, and I really thought that, hey, maybe I'm healed and healthy enough, and I saw the talent out there, and I said, geez, you know, I don't think I'm good enough.
When you look back at it now, you get your degree, you're working as a DJ, all right, you get in the sales, you like what you do. Do you ever see that, oh, I'm going to be in a pretty prominent role in college athletics down the road? Or, you know, is it just, and now you look back on it and think like, wow.
Well, I hate to reveal this, but I think once I was in minor league baseball, I really thought the next step was I really liked money. You know, I was really intrigued by finances and wanting to own something. And I really thought I was going to become an owner of a team in minor league baseball. And that was going to be my goal, not with a lot of money saved, but with a lot of blood equity, you know, working my tail off and somebody giving me that opportunity. And sure enough, it happened. You know, Bill Shanahan bought the Columbia Blowfish, which was a summer league team. You know, I became somewhat part owner of that. And then I started realizing that 25% ownership of zero is zero. You know, so there was really no money coming in, and that was kind of standard in minor league baseball. It's a very hard job, a hard life, and most owners do not make money. So then I started kind of getting the realization that that's not a good choice. And then that's when I started realizing that what I like to do is I like to invest in people. I like to manage people. And again, never saw myself in collegiate athletics. Just so happened that with the explosion of the University of South Alabama right before our eyes, I was at the right place at the right time.
You know, we talked about goals for Jaguar Sports Properties, but for yourself, as you move forward, you know, is it college athletics all the way now? Do you have that part of you that thinks, hey, if I could get in professional baseball at a high enough level where it makes sense, you know, long term, personally, what do you see for yourself down the road?
Yeah, you may not like this answer, but I am completely content. I have a wife of 23 years. I've got a two sons, 17 and 14, that are well-rounded and a bright future. I'm exactly where I want to be, doing what I want to do. If you ask me, my next step is, again, I like people, and I want to invest in people. I love watching the young people here, the students, find out what they want to do. And then, to be honest, I want to do everything I can to push them in the right direction and watch them succeed. Just a couple examples that you know very well. I mean, you know, Derek Westbrook coming through here and now working at Baylor. Savannah Stewart, you know, working with the Phoenix Suns after just a few internships here, after playing volleyball here. You know, watching these students grow to the point where they take that next step and they enter that real world, and I get to stay in touch and follow them and watch their successes. That's really what I want to do.
You're not disappointing me. I up front, I'm not a salesperson. I don't see myself in your role, so you're safe in this interview. Guest this week on Inside Jag Nation is Senior Associate AD for External Affairs, Travis Toth. And before we let you go, I want to ask some quick questions. First answer that comes to mind, and get our listeners a chance to get to know you better outside of this role. And the first one is in what little free time you have, what's your favorite thing to do?
Family. Spent a lot of time with Elisa, my wife, and I spent the last 10 years coaching my sons in baseball year-round, and now it's time to let them go and enjoy my marriage.
Now, we've talked about it a lot, so the answer, maybe it's obvious, maybe it isn't. Favorite sport?
Baseball.
I have to ask. I've been surprised before. What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Oh, man, that's a great story, and I know right off the top of my head, I've had a lot of great experiences, obviously, working with the Padres and the Diamondbacks, and so you would think it's that, but I was actually working in Atlanta one week selling educational software, and I had an opportunity to go to the last game ever at Fulton County Stadium. Now, the next thing was, how in the world am I going to get a ticket, and how am I going to afford it? Well, I ran into Jermaine Dye's father outside, who had two tickets in his hands, and Jermaine Dye's father came up to me and said, hey, you and your buddy, you guys going to the game? And I said, well, we'd love to go to the game, we're trying. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, here's two tickets, all I want is face value. So I can't even remember, but I think at the time it was like $45 for a World Series game. So I was like, okay. So we paid $45, and I thought it was a joke. I thought he just scalped us, or they weren't real. And it turned out we went upstairs and we sat in these seats, and we were with about 35 members of Jermaine Dye's family. And it turned out, I said, well, why did you have the tickets? He said, oh, my nephew and niece were late. And so I said, I ain't waiting on them. So he just left them high and dry. And so me and my friend David got to watch the last game and, watch Pettit battle the Braves. And I think Paul O'Neill caught the last, line drive in right center and the last game ever at Fulton County. So that was a great memory.
Yeah, great memory for me, too. I wasn't there, but I remember, it was 1-0. I mean, that was a great, great ball game wherever you were watching it. What is at the top of your bucket list, athletic event you've never attended but want to go to?
I'd say Omaha, and boy, I'm going to kick myself too, because as you know, our boss was just the chair, last year, and I really had good intentions of making it to Omaha. But I think there was a lot going on with my sons and their opportunities, and it just wasn't the right time. But I would say as I wind down my career, I'm definitely going to make a trip to Omaha.
What's the best place you've ever gone on vacation?
I'm going to go back to the early days. I've been to Hawaii, but that wasn't near the top of my list. I would have to say vacation in Jamaica was good, but probably Manhattan. I didn't think I would like Manhattan. And then my wife and I went there for our 10th anniversary. And, we spent about 4 or 5 days in Manhattan just walking everywhere. And I loved it. It was fantastic. And it was shortly after 9/11. So I think it was also had a tremendous impact on me.
You get one place you've never been. Dream vacation. Where are you going?
Italy. My wife is Italian, and I've been promising her for the better part of 15 years that I'm going to take her to Italy. So I would say one of these days we're going to make that happen.
I'm impressed you've promised it 15 years and haven't been called out yet. What's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie? Well, that's putting me on the spot. I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you Field of Dreams from an emotional standpoint, and I would give you Caddyshack just from, I can watch that 100 times and laugh every time.
Favorite book?
Favorite book, the Bible. I'm I just told you, I like to manage people, and where I get my discernment, I really feel strongly about staying in the Word, and the Bible is a roadmap for all of us for how to live our lives.
Favorite musical artist?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get in trouble here. I got to change my answer, I think. This sounds really terrible, but I grew up listening to Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks. I'm gonna go Led Zeppelin from a party standpoint, but on the other side, I'm gonna go Fleetwood Mac just from everybody can enjoy.
From a personal side, the one you don't want to admit to, but you just did.
Yeah,
and when a Hollywood producer comes through Mobile here in the future and says, this is a pretty compelling story to go from DJ out of college to general manager to high-end athletic administrator in college athletics. When he makes Travis Toth's story, what actor is going to play the starring role?
It's going to have to be Matt Damon, and the reason is because I need some excitement in my life. So let's do like another Bourne Identity and just make it after my life. Let's embellish quite a bit and make it fun to watch, because otherwise I don't think it's going to be very intriguing.
We've been visiting this week on Inside JAG Nation with Travis Toth, Senior Associate AD for External Affairs. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Inside JAG Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside JAG Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!